time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
I'm having a good row with my producer. I love him. But we agree to disagree. Why do I need a preacher? I can read. I got my own common sense. I can read it and learn it in my own sweet time. Come back, flick open the Bible, flick the pages, and stop any place and see what it says. Oh, there it is. Little flash of insight. That's all I'm looking for. Close book. That lasts me a couple of weeks. Used to. Don't need it anymore, although every now and then I do cruise through the pages and find something that said it different before. It said the same thing, but I get more out of it. See, I don't want anybody sitting over me. I don't want someone to teach me what I can discover. I throw away my instructions for my toys and try to fix it for myself and put the thing together all wrong and have to take it apart and then appreciate the instructions. I want to do it myself. It's not any good for someone to teach me everything, especially when it comes to truth. It is all shall be taught of God and not from ministers. Sorry. All taught of God, not from ministers. And like he says, he said it in the Bible. The Bible. The Bible says it. Am I on the air yet? Am I on the air? Oh, I am. Good. I'm glad to hear it. I forgot that I was because I was so intense by saying, the Bible says it. All shall be taught of God. The time is coming when people shall no longer say to his brother, know ye the Lord. But I shall write my laws into their hearts, into their minds I shall inscribe my knowing. And I shall be their God and they shall be my people. That means the whole world. We don't need them. This is a time, if ever was a time, that we needed to be individual Americans, fulfilled with the same black, white, yellow, whatever you colors you call yourself. Wherever you come from, you have the same spirit that you can recognize in me. You can recognize it in me wherever you come from. This is the unification of America. This kind of thing. This is what we got. A hodgepodge of all kinds of religions and strange ideas, but all programmed into you. What kind of thing can the evil one make you believe anything? How comes you have so many different denominations of Jesus? Why do you have to have different denominations? Why does one church says one thing, another church says another thing? What's the difference between the denominations? It's the same with Jews, the same with Muslims. They're fighting each other. Muslims fight Muslims. Christians fight Christians. Come on. Something's wrong here. Something wrong with the whole human race. In America, this is a wonderful opportunity. Freedom is... Do you think I could get up in Europe years ago before our founding fathers? Do you think I could do this not too far back in the past? No. Someone died for me to speak this way. How dare you be angry with me? How dare you be angry with me? How dare you be resentful towards me? Why can't you pick up the phone and say you're wrong? My producer just said I was wrong. I'm okay with that. But I say it's possible. You can disagree. Yeah, you disagreed. Well, I'm right anyway. So, I get the last word anyway.
Yeah, I didn't say you were wrong. I just said that I disagreed.
I know, yeah, but they just listen. It's possible for enough Americans to really understand what life is all about, what the Bible is trying to say, the Old Testament, the New Testament, what it's in other words, to have a direct relationship with the Creator so that you are saved, meaning that you are freed from your guilts. You don't need drugs and pills and have anxiety anymore. You're free. Nothing can reach in you and pull out your weakness and exploit it and put you back again and say, nice, good kid, good little boy. Go on your way now. I've used you again. Like the dope pusher, the alcohol, and the politics and religion, they all control you. And you don't mind being controlled. You may not even know it. You may even like it. I don't. The enemy sees you from afar off, and he likes this dissolution. Be right back.
It's time for Advice Line.
Open your eyes. How are you?
Well, I don't know what it was, but I also, that was just, what did you do?
I help you experience God. I help you experience God.
You're listening to Advice Line. Call 1-800-866-8883.
Here we are again, and 800-866-8883. And I hope I've offended everybody. Everybody that needs offending. In other words, if you're upset with what I've said, it means everything I said applied to you. And if you say, wow, someone finally said what I've known all along, we're just afraid to speak up. Because, you know, everybody's so much alike. Everybody seems to think they have what they haven't. And they think there's something wrong with me. I look at them and they feel me looking at them. And, you know, they look at me and scowl. They look at me as though there's something wrong with me because I don't go to their church or believe what... But you see, the true spirit is what we're looking for. The spirit that was in him 2,000 years ago, and the spirit that Adam lost, you know, 5,500 years before that. I think that's approximately the right amount of time. We're going to take to John in Boston. Hello, John.
Hey, Roy.
How are you doing, Orbean?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I don't mind you offending me as long as you offend me with the truth. That's all right with me.
Oh, that's a good man. Thank you.
But the reason why I was calling, let me see. Recently, I had a seminar that I had to go to, and it's a seminar that it's through a program out here because I have not been working. I've been collecting unemployment, so they required me to. Go to this program, and there was a seminar that I took. It was on careers. But anyways, while I was at the seminar, there was a woman that was speaking. And, you know, I was just trying to because I haven't been always been the good at, you know, paying attention and concentrating. So I was just trying to pay attention to the woman that was doing the seminar. And, I don't know. I don't know if it was my own self-conscience or if I was just seeing it in her that she seemed to be bothered by my presence for some reason. Because
that's the last word I said. Remember, I said that people can actually be bothered by your presence because you're bright.
Yes, and but see, when I was seeing that she was, it seemed like she was being bothered. I wasn't sure if. I started getting self-conscious. I started thinking to myself, is it because my body language or is there something wrong with me?
But I don't think so. I don't think so because a good person is not bothered by anybody's body language. For instance, I can read a person's body language. Most of the time I can read their intent and read their thoughts. But I'm not bothered by it, their aberrant behavior or whatever it is. you're crazy, but I'm not bothered by it. I'm not bothered by people looking at me. But when looking at me, yeah, because I'm a whole person. I say I'm a whole person, therefore, if you're not whole, then I will bother you, but you're not going to bother me. See that?
Yes.
So I say that you have a potential. I'm not saying that you have reached it, but I say to you there's a spark of light in you that you had since you were a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that the reason why you're calling me is because you kind of find a kindred spirit in me, right?
Yes, I can hear where you're coming from. That's why I like
to... Well, it takes one to know one, you see. That's the thing. The beauty of it is that we recognize each other. And I'm just on the radio, and you're just driving your car or sitting in the living room, wherever you are. But and you've listened to me, have listened to me before, or you just may have heard me the first time. But so what I have to say has got a ring to it. Now, I could be lying. I could be reading from a script. Some people can lie perfectly without reading from a script. Like the president, he can do both. He can lie from reading from a script and lie just because it's natural for him to lie. But the point is, he too will attract kindred spirits, people like himself.
Right.
I wouldn't want him for dinner. I'm sorry to put it that way. Nor his friends. I would forbid my kids to run around with his friends. And not because of the color of his skin or anything, but just where he's coming from.
Yes.
In a social sense, I know. Psychiatrically, I could treat him. I could take him out of his hypnotic trance, which he's been in for most of his life. But let's get back to you and me.
So when I was at the seminar, so I noticed that. But I didn't let myself react to it. I just kept. Just sitting there and just listening to her.
Well, what was the seminar all about?
It was like I said, the program that I was in, it's a program that helps people to job searching and career searching and going to school and all that stuff.
How old are you?
Career.
I get it. How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 28.
28. And yes. What skills do you have? What skills do you have?
What guilt do I have?
No, skills.
Oh, skills do I have?
Marketable skills.
What marketable skills are that? I mean, I can tell you what type of jobs I've done in the past, and I can tell you what I'm into, what I like.
Well, what are you good at?
Well, I mean, I've always had this, you know, even though I have...
What are you good at first?
For some reason, I've always liked to try to find out what's wrong with people and help them with their problems, even though.
It's not marketable. You can't market that yet.
Right. I was just saying, like, that's what I like to do. I don't know.
But you're not good at it, though. But see, I'm looking for. So, what can you do well?
What can I do well? I mean,
the problem,
I don't know. I can do a lot of things well. I think I can write. I can read. I don't know.
Writing. You're not going to make a living. You're not going to make a living right away from writing right now. I don't think so. So where is your ability to provide a service for money, to give a little piece of your time for bread? See, like. Are you a farmer? A farmer gives his time to the land and he produces food.
Mm-hmm.
He saves some and sells some. I get it. Now, what can you do for society? Because you sound like you haven't learned anything. You haven't put your mind to anything. You haven't been interested in something. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I was interested in this and interested in that. It led me to where I am today. And I never went to school. I left school when I was 12.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I've never really actually, like, I've had different ideas and stuff, but I never really put my head to it. I mean, when I was going to school,
give me one idea that you had.
When I was going to college, I was like focusing. I was taking
what did you? Wait, hold a second. What did you learn in college? Why do you go to college? Did you learn in college that was valuable that could help you to have a life? Nothing.
I took a few courses and they were all directed towards like sociology and social work, and I know what you're gonna say about sociology and stuff.
Useless. All useless.
Yes, I know. I've heard you.
Where's your brain? Where's your brain?
My brain.
Where's your soul? Where's your spirit? Where's the spirit that has courage to follow through with stuff, to do something, to go from door to door?
Everything that I've always tried to do in my life, I've always given up on and I never completed. That's something that I noticed about myself.
Yeah, but you probably didn't do a good job trying even.
Yeah, you're right about that too. I've always I would start a lot of things I studied, especially in school, I would start, but I would always get discouraged along the way, and I would start doubting myself, and I would end up like dropping out or not.
There is doubting yourself. Now, here's your cue. Doubt comes from being frustrated and angry.
Yeah.
In other words, that's what's weakened your spirit. So now, what are you angry about?
You know, I've done a lot of thinking and stuff, and I've been listening to you. And something that I came up with was that there's a possibility that something in me was always, upset. Because my father's a good father. He's a good man. But maybe there were certain things that he didn't have a certain courage to go through with certain things that maybe I didn't have courage because of that.
But you have. Now listen carefully. Now I played with you a little bit to find something out about you, and now I've caught on. So you want some help, don't you?
Yes,
you say you're not trying to put blame on him, but you have. What you're saying is one thing, but what you are doing is another. You do blame him for it. Mm-hmm. Listen, listen. There are people. Look, my father died when I was 12, and I hardly knew him because I've said this many times. It was the depression, and he couldn't get work, but he eventually bought some old watches and 500 or 600 for practically nothing. And as the war began, he took the watches apart and had a bench downstairs, and then he disappeared for a long time. And then soon after he died. But the point, I didn't know him very well. And he was never a mean person. But all I knew was this, that he was a good man and I loved him. And even though we never spoke very much, I never saw much of him. I only had the idea that he was a good person, but I don't think that's exactly, because I can't put it into words. I never had any judgment against him or my mother, any time. So for this reason, I grew up strong, centered. I never lost myself in resenting my parents. Now, let me just give you a few examples. A man comes back from Vietnam with one arm. His son hates him because he can't play baseball with him anymore. The son has the resentment of mother in him towards the father and finds a fault. The father can't play with anymore. It's a selfish kind of thing, but you'd be surprised how easy it is to hate your father for no reason, just because your mother did.
Yeah.
That's you see, because...
I might have the same, like, maybe I have, like, a same, like, type of resentment towards him that I know my mother... Maybe like her spirit transferred into me. That makes
you resent your father. In other words, what kind of woman was your mother?
Well, she's a.
She was married to a man who wasn't sure of himself. This is you giving me a cue. You're giving me a clue. She's married to a man, your father, that wasn't sure of himself, right?
That's true.
Now, what kind of man, woman, marries a man who's not sure of himself? Someone who helps him not be sure of himself, or, in other words, doesn't want him to be sure of himself so she can rule him,
or...
that's have control, or the opposite, so that she will make him lose control and be unsure of himself, so she can be sure of herself.
So she can have all the love from everybody and have all the control. She's self-centered too, but I don't think she. But the thing is about her is I don't think she sees that.
It doesn't matter whether she sees it; it affects you. See,
right.
It doesn't matter whether she sees it. Okay, we agree. She may not see it. Too bad. But you're affected by all that's needed here is for you to see that you've been affected by your mother and you have been imprinted by your mother's attitude since the day you were born towards your father. So your father became a nothing. And so therefore you resented his nothingness.
I wouldn't say that he's a nothing because...
He's a good man, he's a good man. But you told me he didn't... Also, you gave me the clue. Don't take it back. You said he wasn't very good at things and not very sure of himself. Those are the words I've used approximately to describe your father. So I became like my father. Yes. But also by courtesy... In other words, your mother caused you to become like your father. Your mother married this man so she could rule over. So your mother resented men. She resented the hierarchy of men like so many women do. The left-wing feminists are very open about that. They are haters of men. Haters of those who are good. But every woman carries with them the spore of resentment towards the hierarchy of men. That's the reason why our country is upside down. The women rule. The men are wimps. The children are fat and ugly.
There's one thing that I wanted to say to you too. I'm afraid that my son. I have a 10-year-old son, and I'm afraid that he's going to have that thing that I have about not wanted to be outspoken in the crowd because I recently talked to my son's mother. Had called me and she told me that he was in class.
You don't live with your son's mother?
No, we've been separated. We've been separated for a long
well,
time.
Well, but there's another reason. Now you're afraid for your son, but being afraid for your son isn't good for your son. Your fear will cure nothing. Your fear. You've never conquered your fears because you've never conquered your resentment. Resentment and fear go together. Anger and fear, if you like.
Yes.
Resentment is a resentment, but mainly towards your father. And it is the purpose, the unconscious purpose of females to cause their children to hate their father and love her.
Right.
That is the unconscious in every single woman born. There's not a woman can tell me that isn't so. They know. Even women know it about women. Even women know that about women. Now you have to conquer. In order for you to come back to become a whole person, you have to realize there's two people you resent: your father and your mother. You resent your father for not saving you from your mother. There's another reason.
Yes, I came up with that a while
ago. Yes.
Okay,
see,
this
is the psychology. Yeah. So now, but the point is, you will never be able to get rid of your fear until you forgive your father first. In other words, it's to realize that you resented your father and that your resentment was your mother's resentment in you. So in other words, the first resentment you ever had was towards your father. For not protecting you from your mother. Either way, either resenting her, your father, because she did, so you shared the emotional sentiment. It spoke to you even the day you were born. It is infectious in the atmosphere. It's toxic, and so it got into your head, and you saw your father's weakness, and you had resentment towards it for the same reason.
Yes. That's what I hate. That's what I resented is the weakness. That's why I resent. It's not because he was a bad man or anything. I liked everything that was good about him, but I resent the weakness. But
the resentment worked. What was in the woman made you resent your father, and she tricked unconsciously There's the word unconsciously. She doesn't know what she's doing. Fair enough. Your father didn't know how to deal with this mother of yours.
So I've been listening to you for a while, and I think I know what you're going to say. You're going to say I need to forgive them and then leave them alone and go about my life. But I wanted to ask you, how do I find out what I feel like I've been listening to you a lot, and I've been coming up with different ideas, and I've been freeing myself. But I want to know, how do I move forward? How do I find out, like what you were asking me for, how do I find out what my purpose is?
You're running ahead of yourself. You're running ahead of yourself. You're not going to starve in the next couple of weeks, or the next couple of minutes, or a couple of hours. You need to consider what I say about your dad, that he was brought up in a similar environment, and it passed on to you. And when we go back as far as you can go, you've got brutal men. You've only got two kinds of men, and the kind of man that's really a man is not that. Usually a woman hates three kinds of men.
Uh-huh.
She has contempt for three kinds, the weakling and the beast. But the noble man, she really hates. She fears him because she can't control the noble man. So therefore, she's not drawn to the noble man. She's only drawn to the bully, so she can judge it, or the weakling, so she can judge it. But she's always superior to one of those two.
Right.
But a real man puts her in a place, and she doesn't want to be put as something in her that doesn't want to be put in her place. So she avoids the real man. In the same way, men will avoid real women because real women make them feel uncomfortable about their lustful desires.
You go for the
women that give you their bodies and capture
and
you that way.
I don't even want to do that, but when I'm around like a noble woman, I feel like
therefore that's it. That's it. So your whole life is ruined by resenting your father. And you're set up for that the day you're born by your mother. Your father lost the battle. But his father lost the battle. And then you go back to all the fathers, to the very first father, Adam. He lost the battle. The first failing man. And so the spirit of paradise love is in every woman ever since. Every woman's looking for the father she's never known. And every man is looking for the mother he's always known. To reinforce the stupid ass he is. See? You're a good kid.
I still live in the house with my parents, and I'm 28, so I'm thinking about just leaving. So you think that's a good idea?
Well, not necessarily. I think I'd go to my dad and say, Dad, I have an apology to make to you. What is it, son? Well, it's like this. I've resented you all my life. And I've seen what it's done to me. I became like you. I hated you because you didn't stand up to my mother. See? And I resented your weakness. And then my mother put that in me, but you couldn't help it because you encouraged her, because you were a wimp. And you did look for love. And you did look for peace. And you appeased her. And she became the bully.
You know,
and she then,
I've talked to him about stuff like that before, because I've been listening to you for a lot, and I've told him that, but I just didn't. I told him that without telling him that I resented him. I told him
Listen. Forgive me for jumping in, because I want to make sure you forgive me for that. But I've got it on the tip of my tongue, you see. I just want you to tell your dad, I'm sorry for resenting you. It wasn't my resentment. I added to it later. I added to it. The first resentment was the feeling my mother put in me for you. And rightly so, because you were weak. A woman really wants a man to be strong and stand up to her, and when he doesn't, he cannot save her from herself. A woman tempts a man to say, please save me from myself, please say no to me. Please say no to me, like the children. Please say, they scream. They're screaming because something possesses them to make them behave that way. You can't give in to that. Men, you can't give in to that. You can't resent it either, because you'll fail. All right, we'll be right back. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, look. Whatever you, what do you think about what I've been saying? You ladies, gentlemen, do you see the root of all your troubles? Do you see the root of your troubles? It passes from one generation to another with a little help of your liberal friends. I mean, the liberal left. I mean, extreme Marxist, whatever you call them. That kind of encourage, like they're sitting like the devil on your wife's doorstep. Encouraging her, goading her. And sort of like pushing you out of the house, the nest. Making life more difficult, because if you stand up, well, she can only go to the judge and get a divorce and get your money. And take the children and run off with somebody else. That's what's happening. It's called no-fault divorce. You see? Now, how many of you recognize your own identity? How many women recognize that they need to be corrected? And how many of you women can't find a man to correct you? But there is. If you go quietly into yourself, there is a man, came 2,000 years ago, and he can correct you. Believe it, you'll find that man you're looking for. What you're looking for in a man is that in a man. That's what makes a man a man. Him who finds Christ first. That's what you hope for. That's how he gently rebuffs you when you're out of order. Like a good father. Like the father you never had. As I said, every woman's looking for the man she's never known. The father she's never known. Every man looks for the mother he's always known. He goes right back to the like a homing salmon. For reassurance, she becomes the pusher, and you become the pushover. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask both men and women, religious, sacrilegious, unreligious, atheist, whatever. Please try the CD. You can actually try it out before you buy it, which is not a good idea. It's better that you call my office or go to the web and order it. It's only $25. It's called Coping Strategies. Coping Strategies is for the military, but I recommend it for the public. If you've got a computer, there's a lot more on there. There's pain, fear, and stress. Other things you would have to buy. Now, if you want to help the foundation and continue helping yourself so you don't have to buy anything at all, there's thousands of art items on the pay side of my FHU.com. I mean, seminar, like 18-hour seminar, videos, Sunday morning sessions going back God knows how many years. And so all of that's downloadable. You can listen to it, enjoy it. Don't have to. Only cost you $125 a month. And that supports the foundation. I want you to find God. I don't want to get in the way of you finding him. I want to be instrumental for you finding him. Do you find fault with that? I don't want you to be dependent on me or my church. You are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit dwells within. You must know that. And you must trust that in yourself. Okay, now, FHU.com, Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
All right. I've been singing along with this fellow. I hope you don't ever play this back to the audience.
No, I know. But I always sit back and just listen to you as you sing. It's so funny.
All right, we're going to take Linda, California. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, you're not too mad at me, because otherwise you become like what you hate, and that won't be such a bad thing. You hate me.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. I was on the radio program with some homosexuals, and I was explaining how you become like the things you hate. And so they're starting to get upset with me. I said, you know what? Something good can happen. You actually might become like what you hate. You'll become straight. You won't be lesbians anymore. And well, everybody in the control room couldn't contain themselves. I can
right.
tell you that much. It was very spontaneous. Let me speak to Linda in California. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Roy.
Hello, Linda.
I've called you before. You've helped me understand cancer for me.
How are you, Linda?
I'm good. I'm here. First thank you for your graciousness, because when I called about my dad and his cancer, you had closed the call with, I'm glad you're better, because I also have gone through cancer myself. And I wasn't expecting that, but I was grateful to hear that from you, and thank you.
Are you out of danger now?
Everything is showing clear as far as scans and tests.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you. Yes.
You make sure you don't drop off the deep end. Watch for the little irritations. To the degree that you can learn to let things go, to the degree that you accept salvation, meaning you know God's forgiven you, and all you have to do is realize it by the light that says, "Look, you're angry and resentful, and you're full of doubt." And anger is one of the reasons why you're full of doubt is because of anger. And when you're full of doubt, you're separate from God, and then you're filled with everything that's wrong on the outside.
Yeah.
And you go full of excuses, and your mind goes wrong, and your body goes wrong in many different ways, too numinous to count. But make sure now that once you've got the salvation part, the salvation means that. Since God has forgiven you, basically, and you know it, if you believe it, really believe it, not because I said so, because you actually can see that this is so. This is not easy for me to say this because I could run around saying God loves you just as you are, God loves you, and a lot of people do that. But I hope I've brought you to this realization so that you can actually have a light shining in you that sort of speaks to you without words that this is true. And for you to believe that it is true, that the light I bear witness to the light, and I'm not the light. And so if that is true, that solves every single problem up to this point. Ever had up to this moment. However, as you move forward in life, then you're going to run into lots of the same problems you ever had before, and you're going to start to react with resentment as you used to before, but then you catch it, you start to see it. You watch it and it goes away. Bingo. Then now you see, as soon as that happens, something from the past, now you're all by yourself, you've just dealt with the situation properly, something of the past now is coming to the surface, where it would have been suppressed by the next reaction, repressed on top, one on top of the other, which is causing illness and disease. Now they come up for review, for resolution. And the resolution is, oh, I see what I did to my mom or my children or whatever. I see it. And then you feel a little pain of seeing it, and then it's gone. And then you're healthier. And so it goes on until the day you die. Okay?
That's what I'd like to continue. One other situation that I have to now face and deal with is...
What's that?
The fact that I keep losing jobs. I'm a secretary. I'm real good with a computer. I learn very easily. And my memory, I retain quite a bit. But
it's good.
Yes, but for some reason, I don't know if it's boring. I actually don't like deadlines, and that's, I know, a false.
You don't, in other words, you don't like pressure. You don't like pressure.
Yeah, I don't.
No. Here it is. You resent pressure.
I'm starting to.
You're resenting pressure now. If you have a pressure, if you're working on a project and the boss putting too much on you, the proper thing to do is say, Mr. Jones, look, I've got a lot on my plate. I really can't do this. But instead, you resent it. So you could say this. You could either do it without resenting it. But the trouble is, in the past, you hadn't had the grace to do it either way. Either to speak up and say, "I cannot do it. I'm sorry."
True.
And then because you see, if you resent the boss for the pressure put on you, or whatever, whoever it is, and especially if it's a boss, he senses it. He smells it. And if you're married and your husband puts pressure on you, if you don't know how to deal with that, he smells that too. And then it ends up you going along to get along to relieve the pressure, but it doesn't relieve it. Because if you do a good job, it means that, oh, that person really did a good job and fast. They don't know you did it out of the wrong anger, wrong energy and anger. And therefore, they put more on you. Say, wow, look how fast she's done. Look how good she does it. So you're actually encouraging them to load you up with more pressure. See? Or you can't stand it anymore and you cause yourself to be fired.
Yeah,
You're sending your silver knight this job. And pretty soon, well, they see it. They sense it. You got body language. Language is not just language. It's the energy you give off, the atmosphere you produce around you. The boss will see that. I can tell whether the people that work with the foundation. I work for the foundation because I founded it, but it's a non-profit organization, so I don't own anything. I just work there. So, but I can tell which ones love what they do. And as a matter of fact, nearly all of them love what they do. Except for one. I know, there's 15 people. I know one that does not love what he does. Their heart's not in it. But they're very good at what they do. But I can tell. And I can see why that person would not be able to. He doesn't know how to deal with pressure. He actually, he's pressured to do things. He's not strong.
Right.
And so I can tell that person. And he tries hard to be a good person, and he really does. But I could tell that he's, even though he knows a lot of things, he's still not living it. But I don't fault him for that, because he does a good job. But his heart's not in it. But any other place, he would fire himself. That attitude would cause him to be fired.
Could the resentment of pressure come from being molested as a child, being forced?
Yes. You haven't forgiven the person that did it, but more so, you haven't forgiven the parent that wasn't there for you, or one that didn't believe you.
Right. I have to approach my dad. I haven't done that yet. As far as
Well, you want to tell me what it is or not?
For my father,
He allowed this to happen? Did you blame him for this?
So far, I haven't seen that. I know he wasn't there to protect me. You had mentioned that prior, and I know that I cannot blame him for that. But I have to approach him in person and let him know that that's all of what I've gone through.
Okay, why don't you do that? Say, Dad, is he a bad person? Is he mean? Can you talk to him?
I could talk to him. It's just whether, of course, he will admit anything.
He doesn't have to admit anything. It's very important. Listen carefully, Linda, and pay close attention. It's very important that you forgive him first and do not approach him until you can walk up to him and feel quite bold and not fearful of going to see him. You must wait until that moment arrives where naturally you get up one morning and you just, without planning, suddenly you go see your dad. And you don't know why you did it, but there you are. And you're not afraid and you're not trembling. And then say, "Can I talk to your dad for a minute? And you want some breakfast or something?" And then, "I got something I want to admit to you. And I'm a little embarrassed." "What is it, daughter?" "Well, I've been hating you all my life, Dad." "Oh, and I'm very ashamed of that. But I when I was a little girl, I didn't know any better. And I'm older now, I know that it's hurt me a lot. But you're hateable." "Oh, There you go. In other words, you got him. You got to reel him in first. Got it?
Yes, because at this moment, if I were to go, I'd be too emotional. I'd be too.
I know. No, you couldn't. That's why I know that. But you must now wait until it's natural, which means you've let it go. That means that you go to sleep one night, and one morning you wake up, and you find it's gone. Forgiveness comes like a thief in the night sometimes. See? You wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden, you feel free. And you don't know why. And then you think of your dad, and you go see him. And then you talk to him, you know, as an adult, to an adult. Like you're sitting next to him in the bus.
Okay.
All right? Wait for that moment. When you've done that, when you've done that, then you can forgive your mother. But start with your father first, always.
Is it like layers then, or this?
Lots of them. But start like that. The layers will come up, but first you have to experience salvation. And that meditation will bring you to that state where God enters, or the Spirit of God, called the Holy Spirit, enters into you and sweeps your house clean. Which means your spirit is clean, your body isn't. So now you are left with things that are going to come to the surface. But you're also given a power not to be upset anymore with people. So you have to watch for two things. The next moment, where people will look like your dad and look like your mom and look like people who hurt you, you know, remind you of that. The reminders are very important that people look like that can awaken those memories, and you start to resent people that not resentable, they haven't done anything to you. So you have to watch yourself, become aware, be a watcher, watch your thoughts so you can see those little irritations, and as you watch them, they go away. They don't wash over you. See, that's all I can tell you.
Right.
You're right. You just use the meditation technique and you'll be fine.
Thank you.
All right, you're very welcome. So this is program 6032. And 6033, there's 2 hours. All right, we'll be right back. We had some good calls this evening, and I mean, just ordinary calls, but look where we go. Look where we go with that. Look what I can do. Well, that sounds egotistical, but it's not me, it's a gift. You have the same gift. You have potentially the same gift of looking at yourself. I've looked at myself, I've learned, I've looked at people and see them angry and jealous and selfish, and I see that the energy, the emotion, the field around them, and I say, that's what it looked like. See, I have the same feeling. That's what it looks like on the outside. All of a sudden, the problem goes away. I learn from other people's experience. I learn from other people's emotions. Oh, who was that? How much more grievous is the consequence of anger than its cause? Marcus Aurelius. How many years ago? 3,000 years ago? Something. I was the last noble Roman emperor. He has a book, he has a writing called The Meditation. And it's just a small book, but it's worth reading. You'd think it was written by a Christian. Just beautiful. But anyway, it just shows the hearts and minds of men, even if they're not Christians or Jews or sharing our philosophy. It has the same, since the beginning of time, the same musings, the same thoughts, the same discoveries, the same magic entered them. And you recognize their musings and their thinking, as I do. Do you identify with me? See, that I've gone through many stages of what you're yet to go through. I'm encouraging you. Come on, get up. Stand up. Speak up. But you can't speak up if you're resentful, because resentment makes it go wrong. And if you suppress it, it goes wrong too. So you're always stuck with two wrong choices. So everything in your life is wrong because of anger. Anybody can, easy to be angry, easy to be upset. Any fool can be upset, as if that solves a problem. Call my office tomorrow. Call my office, 800-877-3227. Send a donation, box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, tax deductible. Thank you.
Call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I've got a few minutes to muse by myself. If you get that call on the line very quickly, I won't ramble about Maury Safer. Tomorrow, maybe. Because I saw 60 Minutes. I was interested in the battery that young Indian gentleman, very bright spark, that battery just made of sand and chemicals, but lasts forever. And so every house can have, you know, their own grid, own generator battery, but very, very efficient. And it was on 60 Minutes, and there he was, the person... one of those people, Maury Safer, one of those people still alive, and I hope he chokes to, excuse me putting it this way, because what he did and his kind did when they had control of the media. You understand Iran was not an Islamic country. You do understand that. You understand that 60 Minutes engineered the downfall of Iran, engineered it, and created such a fuss, the media in those days with such power they had, that they encouraged the rebellion, they defamed him, just like they defamed Sarah Palin. They defame everyone that was good. This is something that liberals do very well, defame you and degrade you. They're brilliant at being journalists that way, and having the power to play with words. It was a Western country, and the Shah of Iran had to do what he had to do to keep the Muslims in check. But he called them cruel, they called him a tyrant, they called him all kinds of things. And so he had to leave town. He encouraged the rabble to do what they did. And so the Ayatollah Khomeini was sort of being coddled in France, and they brought him to power. It became a Muslim state. If it wasn't for him, we should take his last breath and hear that I said this. You should remember, this is what your media does. Your media has brought you down as well. Brought your children down through the kind of nonsense and lies it puts out. I'm speaking of the mainstream media, and they ought to be put in prison for the things they have done, the things they've hidden from your view, so that you could not see straight to vote properly. They should have been the fourth branch of government. They weren't. They were on the sides of the adversary. These are dangerous people, but I dislike that man. I don't hate him, but I think this is a good time to... Because you wouldn't have believed it then, but I knew it then. I knew it then that him and his crew brought down a whole country. They also brought down South Africa. I lived there, I know. It brought it down the wrong way. So it became basically a communist country. So now, Johannesburg, they could have had a kind of revolution we had in for America. It wasn't that kind of revolution. It was boycotting the Cougar Rand and all kinds of stuff went on. I haven't got time to tell you it all. You can look it up and Google it. But it brought South Africa down and installed, who was his name now? I can't think of his name. He killed people. He was a hero. And yes, the apartheid was bad. I'm not arguing with that. But he brought it down. It became a communist country, so that the beautiful city of Johannesburg becomes the murder capital and rape capital of the world. And the same thing they've done with this country. They've brought us down. They've demoralized our youth. They've used the media, and they've infiltrated the schools and planted their kind as teachers. See? It's in the entertainment world, Hollywood. You know, McCarthy wasn't wrong. He just didn't know how to handle it. That's all. He didn't know how to handle the backlash. He was right. Hollywood is communist. Haters of those who are good, contemptuous of your fawning and your crooning over them. All right, now, that's what I said. I just want to say that to you so you can understand the danger of media. The danger of Hitler having media, the danger of Stalin having a media, the staging of Rwanda having media, what it can do, what media can do. Media can do good things. I do hope that I'm doing some good, telling you about the bad. God forgive you, Maurice Safer, and your crowd, but I don't like you, and you need to own up to that, what you did, and people better understand that 60 Minutes did it. All alone. It was the media then. It had the power to do it, and it took down a country. And now we got the problem facing us that we wouldn't have had, people dying. Okay. Sorry about that, Chief. Had to finish the program off with something a little bit less spiritual. All right. Nelson Mandela, that was the word. Yes, he wasn't a bad guy. He did some bad things, but he was a terrorist, but he wasn't a bad guy. But what followed him was communism.
Are you ready to take control over your life?
Before I got involved in doing the observation exercise, I used to go to a 12-step group. I don't go to them anymore because I discovered that they're basically worthless because all I'm doing is talking about my past. Since I started doing the exercise, I barely think about the past anymore. It's going away. But even in those periods when I used to go to these recovery groups, it seemed like the longest period of time I could ever go without backsliding would be like 3 months. This time, I don't feel guilty about what I did. I understand what I did. This type of an incident in the past would have put me in a depression. I would have stopped working, just created more and more pain for myself. You talk about how you effortlessly will leave these things behind, and it's so true. It's so amazing.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Learn how to deal with stress properly. Visit FHU.com. Are you overwhelmed by pressure and stress?
Already things are being resolved in my life. Fences are coming down. I'm mending fences that really broke the ice fly. I'm so grateful.
Are you ready to have your life become a success story?
I had gone through 15 years of therapy with a psychiatrist. It still didn't help. So I bought several of the CDs, and he had a lot of the answers that I didn't get with the doctor. It's been real helpful. I don't get as worked up about problems. I just stay calm. Different things will come up, and I'll just work it out.
Are you ready to stop struggling? Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com